Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have given us the opportunity to gaze at the wonder of the cross. It is the place where you sent your Son to save those who had placed their trust in him. And Lord, we want to remember him this morning. We want to remember him well. And we can only do that by your grace. So we call upon you for your grace to remember your Son well this morning. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and his subject at this point in his letter is giving, stewardship. And he speaks to the Corinthians about the church in Macedonia and the way in which they gave. This was a very poor and a very persecuted church, and yet they gave out of their poverty, and they gave up to and beyond their means and their ability. Paul also praises the Corinthians themselves. He mentions several noble aspects of their character. He mentions how they have grown in their faith and how they have grown in their speech. And he mentions how they've grown in their knowledge and their earnestness and their love. In many ways, they're a completely different people than they were when he wrote his first letter just a few months or a few years earlier. But he exhorts the Corinthians in something. He exhorts them also to excel in giving, an area where they were not yet excelling. He wants them to excel in the same way that they were excelling in the other areas of their life. And as an example of giving, he puts forth Jesus, the ultimate example of what it means to give in a sacrificial way. Follow along with me as we read verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 8 together. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." We want to remember Jesus this morning for the way in which he became poor. But to understand his poverty, we need to understand the condition that he was in before he became poor. And we see that in the middle of the verse. It tells us that Jesus was rich. This is not a reference to his material possessions. This is not a reference to money or anything that Jesus himself had. What this does is this speaks directly to Jesus' glory, a glory that he had as part of the Godhead, as part of the Trinity, that he had had since before the creation of the world. In John 17, when Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer, he prays and he says, "Father, glorify me now in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus had a glory with the Father, with the Spirit, before the world began. And it was out of that glory that he created this world and by speaking it into existence. That was the way in which Jesus was rich. It was the one who was rich in that way that became poor in the middle of the verse. Jesus became poor, we see. Again, that poverty is not related to any material thing. It's not related to Jesus' livelihood as a modest carpenter from Nazareth. This is speaking to one specific truth. That truth is that Jesus became a man. Jesus, the one who existed in eternity past as God, who created the world, condescended to become a man. Several places in the New Testament tell us about that. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Jesus was made for a little while lower than the angels. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. Very human language. He took on the form of a bondservant. Romans 8 tells us that Jesus took on the likeness of sinful flesh, something that could only be had by man. Even in the Old Testament, the Father himself speaks of Jesus being a man. Zechariah chapter 13, the Father refers to Jesus as the man, my associate. Many places, in many ways throughout Scripture, we see that overwhelming testimony that Jesus became a man. And there's one and only one reason why Jesus became a man, and that is because as the atoning sacrifice, Jesus actually had to take our place on the receiving end of the Father's anger and wrath against us. He simply could not be our representative before God without becoming one of us. That is why Jesus became a man. And we see at the end of the verse that Jesus' poverty as a man was not without effect. The result of this was that we might become rich. And again, this is not a reference to any material possession. Instead, this is a reference to what a believer has when they place their faith and their trust in Christ. A couple of familiar verses from the New Testament will help us see that real clearly. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7, Paul writes, "In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." God's grace that is lavished upon us is what makes us rich. Romans 6 describes the new relationship that a believer has with sin. Towards the end of the chapter, we read that believers, they derive their benefit. Their benefit results in sanctification that leads to eternal life. And eternal life is how we become rich. And Peter says in 1 Peter 1 that we have an imperishable inheritance which is laid up in heaven for us, and it's protected by the power of God through faith for us. Those are just three ways in which we are rich because Jesus became poor. So this morning we want to remember Jesus that way. If you're here this morning and Jesus is your Savior and Lord, you have a richness in Christ because you've placed your trust and your confidence in him, would you join us this morning? As the elements come to you, would you hold them? And give thanks to God for the humility of Jesus, that he would give up the riches in heaven that he had. He would humble himself to become a man here on earth so that we could become rich. Thank the Lord for that. I mentioned a passage in Romans chapter 6 that talks about how God's grace to us results in a sanctification that leads to eternal life. Sanctification is the process by which a Christian continually walks in increasing holiness in their life. If there is any part of your life today which is keeping you from continuing that walk of sanctification, please address that with the Lord before you take the elements this morning. Address that, turn from that sin, and repent from it, and then take the elements in a worthy manner. And if you're here today and you have no riches in Christ, you have not placed your trust and your confidence in Christ, you do not realize that the riches of this world have no comparison to the riches that a believer has laid up for them in heaven, this is not a time for you. This is not a time for you to celebrate what Christ has done for you. This is a time for Christians to celebrate what Christ has done for them. So when the elements come to you, just take them and pass them by. But redeem this time well. Use this time to ponder the truth of Jesus, his own words that he came to save those who are lost. So men, come and serve us. And when the elements come to you, take them on your own.